Verse 7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I want to talk about the blessed who trust. And we are blessed, truly, if we trust. Let's ask God to bless His Word. Father, we ask today Your blessings on this, that You would quicken our minds today to hear the Word and implant it, and God, to change us today and lift us by Your Word. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. You may be seated. And when you go to the Old Testament and you read about things fulfilled in the New Testament, to me, it's always intriguing to see such a perfect application that comes back to us. And Jeremiah, these readings, I'm going to go on down through verse 13 in a little bit. But it seems to be so applicable to almost anything that you could ever work out or go through. But the blessed people that it's talking about, that's us. And the blessed who trust and hope, it's talking about those are the ones together that truly that the Lord's hand is upon. And blessed is the man or blessed who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. By just trusting in Him, the Bible is saying you're already blessed because you're trusting in God and your hope is there with Him. They will be like a tree planted by the waters. Now think about a tree that's planted in a field. It needs the rain, of course, and these are very easy applications. But the one that's planted by the water, there's something different about that tree. You don't have to install a sprinkler system or you don't have to irrigate it. The tree planted by water is just going to be all right. It's good. It's going to be okay. There are trees that can be dug up. I have seen great oak trees that they dig them up, transport them to someone's house. They have a lot of money to have one of these trees planted, and they take a full-grown oak and they can set it down in that yard, and if they do everything correctly and they add enough water, a lot of water, that tree will thrive in that new environment. But the thing that is so necessary is it has to have water. It has to have a continual flow of water. But when you take a tree, a sapling, a small one, or however it might be, and you plant it by water, then you're really not going to have to worry too much, because we know that trees are going to thrive where there is water. So the tree is depending on a source that's close by and a source that's flowing. Not stagnant water that's got poisons in it or something, but a water that is flowing. And it says its roots are spread out. And, you know, a hunter that goes and hunts, a good hunter, not me, but a good hunter, one with experience. My experience, I eat food that's caught if it's good. I've never killed anything and ate it other than fish. That doesn't count as a hunter. That's a fisherman. And I'm not a fisherman, but I've caught fish. I've caught a lot of fish. I've caught fish until my arms ached. That's a good fishing day. And it was a good week later on, a good summer, because we had fish for a long time. And I don't have a lot of those memories, so I can't brag about all these fishing trips. I had two real good ones. So I'm not one of those. But here we have a hunter. And if the hunter really wants to increase his chances of catching game, he needs to set out more traps. He needs to have an area where he knows the animals are, and he needs to set something out there to entice them. You want them to come to where you are, and I don't mean to be bloody and gory, but hunting is a normal thing, and people do it to survive, and people do it for sport. I just like the product of it. But it said when that hunter goes out, he may set multiple traps. A fisherman may set out many different lines. When I was my first deep sea fishing trip ever, my wife's cousin, David, invited me to go with him. He said, we're going to go out and catch dolphin. Not porpoises, but mahi-mahi. And it's easier to say dolphin. And so we went to catch dolphin. He goes, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out in my boat, and we're going to set these outriggers and put bait on them. And we're going to go, if we go across a weed line, you'll see some weeds in the water, just a line of weeds. That's where they'll be, and we'll hear those riggers, the outriggers snap. And when they snap, we know we've got them, and then we'll start catching them. And we'll leave those on the hook, because the others will be in a frenzy and they'll be trying to eat because they realize they've eaten something. He says, that's what we'll do. And so, okay, good. And we've been out in the water, Biscayne Bay area, Miami. We've been out there maybe 8 minutes, 10 minutes maybe, and all of a sudden we go across a weed line. He goes, yep, I hear it. Click, 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 click. Oh, there we go. He turns the boat back around, and we start calmly putting Dolphin in the boat. And I wished I'd brought a glove. My hands were getting tore up, but it was exciting. And he said, I tell you what, you catch him. And he was getting excited about it. He goes, and I'll put the bait on, and you just keep doing this. And I was just pulling them up, some large, some even larger. And we caught 18 of them right there in a little bit of time. And then another boat saw what we were doing. And when that boat came up, it scared the others away. We thanked them for that. And we went to his house, and he tried to teach me how to clean these fish. We had mahi all summer. But he said to me, how is it that you're so calm catching the fish? He said, you aren't excited at all. I said, you said that's what we would do, is we would go past the weed line, the outriggers would snap, and then we're going to turn around and go back and get them. I said, was this rare? He goes, this never happens. It never happens. He goes, this is a really awesome thing. I can't believe you weren't excited. I said, well, I'm pretty excited about eating the fish, but I didn't know this was a rare occasion. He did everything right, so it worked. And so I like it when things work, because I've had so many stories that weren't like that story. A lot of stories that don't go that way. And so I'm excited when something does work, but it worked because he did things that are used for catching, not game, but fish. It's better than game. Tastes better. Awesome food. Don't want to make y'all hungry, but trust me, it's some of the best. So this tree had its roots spread out, because when its roots are spread out, all the roots don't say, whoa, whoa, look at that north root. It's getting a lot of water. Let's gather over there. But all those roots are independently seeking their source, and they're going further down. If they find a source close to the surface, they don't go deep. You'll see whenever hurricane winds blow through here, and you'll see an oak tree fall over, and the depth of the roots are about that deep, and it just picks the grass up. Why? Because it didn't have to go anywhere for the water. It's surface. But see, if that tree has to go through a little bit of drought, those roots start going deep, trying to find the water source. And when it finds a water source, it wraps itself in that source, and it submerges itself in the source, and it found what it's looking for. And so all those roots are doing something awesome in going to their available sources. That's a great picture of a church, of the body of Christ, the greater body of Christ, is we all do what we need to do in our lane, and we don't look over our shoulder and say, I think I want to spread over here and wrap around the tree and go where this other root looks like it's getting sustenance, but we are the place that God put us is where we're going to go deep and try to find that nourishment that we need. But by doing that, by being different, by you're on this side and I'm on that side and you're on this side, we all are bringing stability to the church, because we're going where we need to go to find the source that we need. Think about it. We are trying to locate what satisfies us. And in by doing that, we're making the church stronger. We're not content. Don't be content with something that you're not pleased with. Pray for God to give you a better position on that job. And when he does that, you're digging a little bit deeper and you're making the church a little more stable, because you have a testimony. You have faith in God, and God has brought you through something, and you can tell a neighbor, hey, I prayed and God did it for me. He'll do it for you, and he will do it for them. Amen. That's the way God builds his church, is we're dissatisfied with certain things. Now, I'm not condoning that we look around and just turn our lip up or our nose up at things we have. No, it's about getting what you need and saying, if I don't need it, if I can't get it, I'm going to go where I can get it. And so I'm just going to dig deeper and I'm going to find my source. We all need to have our source that is connected to God. When people give up and go outside the church for their source, for their pastime, for their enticements, whatever it might be, you can fill in the blanks, they end up making the church weaker, because they're anchored to something that's artificial and it's not going to hold them. And what happens? They might blow over, and we've got to come bail them out and say, you shouldn't have went there. It was in the church. You just got to wait on the Lord and he will renew your strength. But if we go outside the source, we end up messing up, and there we are. Let's get to some happy things, all right? Its roots are spread out. Its roots are spread out. You know, when the heat comes or the drought sets in, it's the roots then that you're trusting in. Now, during the rainy season, rain's pouring down. It's like, wow, look at this green grass, and the trees are growing great. Isn't that wonderful? That's all good. But when there's drought, we need to have a source. When there's a drought, when we can't get through to God, let me tell you something. Everybody goes through droughts where they don't feel like they're getting through to God. And it may be you. It may be circumstances. It could be family. It could be job. And there's times you're just going to not feel anything. We all are going to feel it but you. You're going to go through those times. And it's usually going to be just emotional or mental or a combination of everything. We go through those times. But don't let your mind... See, we blame a lot of things on the enemy, and that's all right. It's okay to blame him. He can handle it. Don't worry about him. You don't hurt his feelings. But we don't need to get so used to saying everything is the devil that we stop looking in the mirror to say, what can I do to readjust my training, to readjust my depth, to readjust my position so I can get what I need from God? There's balance. We've got to have balance. And that's why we have to have the Word of God daily in our life, because it gives us balance. It centers us. Truly, it centers us in the lane where we know where we're at. And so we can come to church and say, this I then identifies with what I felt in prayer today. And it's kind of like Sunday. And it's kind of like, you know, how I was praying or how I was worshiping God. It all fits together. It's a connection of all the various things that we do to live for God. Study, prayer, fellowship, going to being a good employee. All those things work together to carry us through. But when the heat comes and the drought sets in, those roots need to be attached to something. If my life goes upside down between Monday and Tuesday, if I'm, you know, praying daily for years, that situation, and I'm praying about something and it's just continuing to bother me, if I continue to go to God in prayer, then I'm going to be stabilized because I'm connected to God. See, there's something about the connection to God that even if He doesn't give you the answer, it's the fellowship with Him. It's the daily communing with Him that's going to help you. Now, we know these things. It's just I'm reminding you of a lot of things right now. We've all gone through all of this. You know, sometimes I'll just go and pray as I did yesterday, trust in the God that's been providing for me with a great foundation of trust and understanding. That's what He does. He gives you a foundation of understanding and trust. So we go back and do the same thing we've been doing. Eventually, we're going to break through. But think about this. You're going through something. You're trying to get a hold of God. You're trying to see something move. You're trying to see something prove that God's on your side. The whole time as you're going deeper, you're stabilizing the body of Christ. And somebody is always watching you. Promise. Somebody is watching you. Here's the deal. People watching you don't tell you, I'm watching you. They're just kind of like, I've noticed her. I've noticed him. Stable. Happy all the time. Never have a bad day. That's what people think when they see our exterior. Because you got a hold of something. You're going deep. You got a source. They don't see the source. You ever got in your car, you shut your door because you just can't wait to tell God something? Those are good days. That means He's been your source. Shut the door and you just say, Lord, I just want to tell you something. I'm so thankful for what you just did for me. I love to see the break in a situation when it begins to turn. I've been praying about it for weeks or even months, and I love to see it turn and it begin to break. And I'm going, here it goes, here it goes. God's doing something. God's about to show out. Amen. And we give Him all the glory. Yes, sir. We don't ever do it for us. We do it for God. It's all the glory, all the glory. Because intertwined with the circumstance is the purpose and the nature of God and godliness. So with that situation comes the costume. The uniform. You're wearing the uniform that keeps you humble and keeps you centered in the will of God. So that don't worry about somebody, you know, being the star of the show. The Lord don't have any of those. Paul said there's not many mighty, not many noble, not many geniuses. He goes, you know, just the common man is who God uses. We're not superstars. We just have a super God. And we're reflecting what He can do and who He is. But if I've neglected prayer, that same emergency will get me. The same emergency that I was persevering in, if I neglect to pray, that emergency is going to get me in 911 mode. I'm going to be like, oh no, somebody call help, call help. It's awesome to look back when I've, you know, got two blowouts on the same side, to look back and say, prayer, 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 prayer. You know, folks, the reason I talk a lot about prayer is because it is the answer to everything that we truly need in life. It is the thing that we need in everything that we do. We need prayer. So, verse 9 and 10 of Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things. Now, let me remind you what the first part said. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord, for he'd be like a tree planted by the waters. Beautiful, poetic, love it. And the next verse, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Wait, it's a left turn. We're talking about all these blessings that God gives, and the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. He just kind of interjected something there. Is it out of line, out of time? No, it's perfect. Because he had to tell us this. He said, while I'm, letting you understand the man that trusts in the Lord is really blessed. He's going to be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots and by the river, and he won't fear when the heat comes. But the heart is deceitful above all things. He said, hold on and be careful, because your heart, your mind, that part of you that makes decisions, it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I think all of us have seen situations where you thought somebody was just right in the middle of the lane, doing great. All of a sudden, a left turn or even a U-turn, and you're like, where did that come from? Where did they go? Did they really do that? Trust me, they do things like that. Why? Somebody please tell me why. How can people be here today and go tomorrow? The heart. Not bad. Just say the people are bad people. The heart. The seat of their emotions is deceitful above all things and desperate. To me, desperately wicked, and attaching that to human beings, like, that's Dracula stuff. I mean, desperately wicked. I mean, they're wicked in a point of desperation to be wicked. He says, that's the heart of man. To be honest, and I think we need to be honest, but we don't always have to say everything that's in our mind, but to be honest, we have been that desperately wicked before when we've had thoughts. If we acted on every thought we had, we'd all be dead today. If we wanted to see the things that we have thought about or wanted to do the things that we felt like in a moment of anger, somebody would have put us under. Think about your whole life. Nope, maybe not. Maybe we have some good folks saying, no, I've been perfect everywhere in every way. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. You know what the Lord is saying? Y'all going to get what you're supposed to get, according to the fruit of your doings. It almost seems like a different chapter when I read that. I thought, this doesn't seem like it goes together. It goes from talking about roots and blessings, and all of a sudden it speaks about the deceitful heart. But just as quickly as the subject changed, the awesome thing about that, that's how the heart of man can change, right there. Just as quick as it made a left turn, we can do the very same thing. In a moment, we can turn and say, where did that come from? Was that me? Didn't think I was even worthy or able to do those things. It's deceitful above everything. Think about something that's deceitful. Think about Bernie Madoff territory. The heart. That was a deceitful heart. One son died, one committed suicide. Both probably from him ripping people off as an investment banker. His wife lives in a 600 square foot condo, drives a Prius. And he was multi-billionaire, the guy everybody wanted. What happened? The heart. Desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. And only the market coming down and the financial disaster revealed those roots didn't go anywhere. They were just laying on top of dead leaves. I, the Lord, search the heart. The mind and the spirit of men, they're open before God. He can search us. Anytime he wants, he can search us. And he does. His word searches the heart. The Spirit of God within us constantly searching our hearts. His Spirit is always searching. And I say, God, just go ahead and search on. Why? Because I don't want something in there that corrupts me, that'll turn me around, keep searching my heart. That God wants to bless man according to his ways, and he'll bless us according to our activities. That's good if you're doing good. All right, I like that. But hold on, if I'm not doing good, I'd like you to give me a second chance, Lord. So if we want better results, from this scripture I'm reading to you today, we must be mindful of what we are doing. Our minds must be engaged, and we must know, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm doing. It's the work of the Spirit within to cultivate the graces of God in our lives. So that Spirit is what guides us. I was going to start with this a while ago, but I decided to do my intro the way I had planned it. But just let me throw this in. Receiving the Holy Ghost is a great thing. It's a great miracle. We repent, we say, God, forgive me my sins. In our heart, in our mind, we are turning away from sin. We're saying, Lord, I'm desiring to turn away from sin. And we ask Him to fill us with the Holy Ghost. We raise our hands and we worship Him. And it might be in a second, it might be in a moment, it might be the next service, it might be at night when we're about to go to bed. Somewhere, God will fill us with the Holy Ghost. And it's usually in a place of worship most of the time. We agree with that, I believe. Why? Because our faith is lifted up when everybody's around us and they're all praying to God. So when a person begins to speak in other tongues, it's the evidence that God has said, I am inhabiting your soul. My spirit is now in your soul. I'm there. It doesn't mean the battle's over. It means I'm here to lead and guide you into all the other truths that you're going to encounter. I'm leading and guiding you. I'm going to be there to fight for you. And you're born again like a baby that's born. The Bible likened it to a new birth, a baby in Christ. But you're going to grow in grace and knowledge from that point on. And we learn how to live for God. I'm talking to the people that know this. We learn how to live for God in all of those ways. And so as we grow in God, we cannot remain a 9-month-old infant. We've got to mature spiritually, and we've got to mature in the Word of God. We've got to mature in the will of God, to follow His will and not constantly be going in and out of the world. We've got to be able to make up our mind, Lord, I'm living for you. This is what I'm going to do. And we grow that way. And we become a new man or woman in Christ Jesus by that wonderful miracle of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an awesome thing. Amen? I thank God for that. I do. I thank God for what He's done. He's blessed many of us that way. But Galatians says this in 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Holy Ghost that's in us. The fruit of that, the produce of that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law against that. You know what it's saying? There's no limit to what you can produce here. You got to grow in grace and knowledge. But those are the attributes. These are the virtues that we are to produce. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that God wants to produce in us. And so that's what He's trying to do, is just constantly allow us to produce all of these wonderful graces through the Spirit that dwells in us. I can't do that with my spirit. I can't do that with my flesh. So daily what God is doing is drawing us in line that we can advance through this part right here. Our hope of a blessed life comes from the high throne of God. If I'm going to be blessed, and this is where my point is tonight, if I'm going to be blessed by God, I'm going to go to Jeremiah 17. We're at the same place we were. I skipped to Galatians, but now I'm back to Jeremiah 17. But now verse 11 says, as the partridge, just think about a hen, it's that same sort of thing. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, sits on that egg, doesn't hatch. So is he who gets riches but not by right. He gets rich but not the right way. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and his end, he will be a fool. Think about this image here. The one who, that bird who sits on that egg and it never hatches. Just sitting there. 25 days, pretty much, that egg should hatch. If it's a mockingbird, 13 days, something like that. But this hen is sitting on that egg and just sitting there. And after so many days, the other birds are like giving it a side eye, you know. That bird's not hatching. That egg's still there. I don't hear any squeaking. Just sitting there. It's been 40 days. It's been 50 days. All right, that's just about to be a rotten egg now. That's not good. He said at his end, he will be a fool. And then verse 12 says, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place, Lord, of your sanctuary. A glorious high throne. First, in our beginning, that's where we have to start with, is his high throne. That's the beginning. because I don't want to be setting on something that's not going to take place. I want to go to God with the right motives so that the thing I'm praying about can take place. I don't want to have something there that never does pan out, because it needs to pan out, because this is for the glory of God. So a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place, God, of your sanctuary. It's when I go to you first, that's where you truly live, God, is in that place where I approach you first. It's not talking about in the beginning of the world, God was there. It means that's the first place, is I've got to approach him as my Savior, my healer, the one that's in a high place. And I go there first. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me. Now see, first this is Jeremiah praying. This is Jeremiah speaking as the partridge, a glorious high throne. O Lord, the hope of Israel. And then he says after in verse 13, the Lord speaks and says, those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. They didn't stay put for me to bless them. So the Lord spoke and said, those who depart from me shall be written in the earth. What he means written in the earth, he says, your names are not going to be engraved on my throne. Your names are not going to be engraved anywhere. It's going to be written in the dirt. That's how it's going to be written. What, you write something in the dirt, it washes away. My friend Donnie came down, he was two doors down, he had a bike, the kind that had the wheels that didn't have air in them, the hard plastic wheels. Y'all remember that? And they would split, and his had split. Meanwhile, I get a new bike. So he has a bike that's old, and it's kind of that low. I wish I had one now. They'd be worth a lot of money. And, you know, big wide red bar going across. And he said, you ride my bike, I'll ride yours. He liked my bike. It was purple metal flake. And so when we got through, I said, don't drop my bike. Well, that's all it took, because he's about to get back to his junkie bike, and he's got my new bike. He didn't just drop it. He just kind of chunked it. So I just chunked his. That was it. We're done. I don't want to see you again. I don't want to play with you ever again. Go home. And I always thought it was funny that when I'd tell him to go home, he'd go home mad. If he told me to go home, I'd do anything but go home, because I didn't want him controlling me. You know, we were some good friends. And he went home, and I went over to where the rain would go down the curb and it would wash sand out, and there was always sand at the end of our driveway, like just, you know, some sand. And I took my finger and I said, I hate Donnie. So I wrote it in dirt, and it lasted until dinner, because dinner time, we're back buddies again, as kids will be. Didn't even mention the bike situation. And he's riding around, and we're just having fun in the street, and he sees what I wrote. He said, hold on a minute. Did you write this? Now I'm thinking, it's my house and in my driveway. He's Donnie. I'm here. We were mad a while ago. And so I just looked him in the eye. I said, I did, but it ain't about you. It's another guy. Same name. You know what he did? He went, oh, okay. Well, I got out of that one. If it only would have been another day, there would have been enough wind to have blown it away. Because nothing stays that you're going to ride in the dirt. The Lord said, those that depart from me shall be written in the earth. You know, they didn't make a mark. They're not making an impression. They're going to be written in dirt. See, basically, here's what we're learning from this last bit as I come to a close. The hen that sets on eggs 25 days, expect that eggs to hatch. To continue to set without any sign of a breakthrough is like the one who gets rich, but not right away. It's going to be a long time. Like an unhatched egg, his riches will leave him, and there's no connection. He might get rich quickly, but there's no connection to effort, to discipline, and so it's gone quickly. God is different than that. He says we need to have a relationship. If you're going to want something, we need a relationship here. It's got to be based on you ask me, and we get together, and I begin to provide for you. That's how God likes to do this. So he says a glorious high throne in the beginning. He goes, that's where he's at. So we must start every need, and I could say every day, but let me just say, every need we have needs to start at the throne of God. Remember where we started this at. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. We're in the same theme here, but we're progressing. We're progressing. So there's no connection to his cause. Therefore, the riches don't last, because there's not a transfer of effort, faith, and production. Because God blesses us according to our faith, not according to our talk, not according to our desire, but we must have faith in God and trust him. A glorious high throne in the beginning. We must start every need like that. Otherwise, our need is never tested with God's wisdom and with God's will. So when I connect my desire and I say, Lord, first I want to know your will about this, and I want your will to be done. I want your kingdom to come, and I want your will to be done. And I must leave God the chance to say no to me. I've never heard the Lord say no, I don't believe. But I've realized it was a no in short order. When I felt led to go away from my request, or the request didn't come, but in the process of staying connected to God, I might not have got what I asked for, but the Lord showed me something else, either about myself or another direction that I needed to go. It's diligent pursuit of God is the answer all the time, because then you're connected to the one that's going to give you what you're asking for some way. Either you'll get your prayer answered, or you'll get a new understanding from God about what you need to pray for. Just practical. And last of all, the ones who forsake him. He said their names are going to be written in dirt, not on stone. Their good will be forgotten. They had good, but he said they're not using me. They're not coming to me for the right things. They can still teach and preach, but their history will not stand the test of God's standard. God's standard. I saw just the other day a hero of mine from my childhood, a pastor that preached our camps and preached here, not at the church, but here in Florida camps and all that. And I saw him end his Easter message with a sinner's prayer with a great crowd of people. He got a great crowd, but he don't have the message. And I thought, what a great ability that he had, and just a man I looked up to for years. But he got the priorities wrong, out of order. It can happen to a pastor. It can happen to moms and dads. It all goes back. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. Blessed is the teenager. Blessed is anyone who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. You're blessed when you're trusting in God, and that is your hope, because you'll be like a tree planted by water. Oh, man. God's going to be with you all the time. I'm thankful today that he will put us by the water and say, this is where you really need to be, because you've been giving me the credit, and I love that when you bless me with that, and I'm just going to keep blessing you because you're giving it back to me. And what an awesome, great economy that we have with God when we go to him and he blesses us and we go deeper in him and he continues to bless us. Amen. Amen. Let us stand. It's a blessing today. I always thought about this while we were singing, to have Sister King with us, who was the first lady here during the 80s, and my mother-in-law, Linda Seal, here, who was the first lady here during the late 60s and all of the 70s, practically. And, my wife's not here. I'm not going to say that's a blessing. She's blessed at the beach right now, and it is a blessing that she's there. But just saying that to tell you, we're a blessed church. It's blessed to have these ladies here. Their husbands sacrificed and preached the message. And I want to always give honor where it's due, and you'll hear me say that again, because these ladies deserve honor. The job of a pastor's wife is different than the pastor. I can get up and I can say things. Pastor's wife, they just got to pray for the husband to say the right things. You know, it's a different role, and it takes special, special ladies to do that. I want to say to the Lord today, if I had a thanks to the Lord right now, I'd say, God, I want to thank you for giving us a Wednesday night, this kind of crowd, not just people here, but people that want to hear the Word of God. Amen. Faithful, people. I want to thank God for that. I want to thank God for the blessing of Sunday, the great service we have. And I want to thank God for what He's going to do this Sunday. So in closing, let's just bless the Lord and let's thank Him for what He's going to do on Sunday. Let's do it with faith in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for the blessing of being right here. I thank You, God, of having knowledge of who we are and what we're doing. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus right now that You would look on us, God, as we approach the weekend and help us, Lord, that we can connect with somebody and somebody can connect with a Savior. Somebody can connect with Your divine purpose and Your divine order in Jesus' name. Father, let Your work be done, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let Your wonderful work be done in Jesus' name. Father, use us today, oh God. Help us, Lord, to be Your eyes and Your hands. Help us, God, today to carry out Your work in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.